We'll be in the 13th chapter of Genesis. 13th chapter of Genesis. We can find the story of Abraham in Genesis, can we not? That's where it's at. A little history lesson here, and I'm going to get into the meat of the mess here a little bit. But you know what? He was born in the land of Ur, the Chaldeans, which is modern-day Iraq today. That's where he was born. His father was named Terah. He had two brothers named Nahor and Haran. Haran had a son, which was the name of Lot. And you can find that all in Genesis. As time passed, Lot and Abraham moved into the land of Canaan, which eventually became Israel. That's where they moved to. And while they were in Canaan, God appeared to Abraham and told him that all that he could see was going to be his. That's what he told him. He said, all the land that you see here, that is going to be yours. That's what he told him. Abraham even built an altar to God while he was there and worshiped God while he was in that, while he was in the land of Canaan. After a while, him and Lot moved into Egypt. And whenever they moved down into Egypt, sometime when they were down in Egypt, they decided they were going to move back into the land of Canaan. When they moved back there, they had amassed a great amount of wealth. They had amassed a great amount of wealth according to that day and age. They had all kind of cattle and sheep. They had all kind of herdsmen to watch them whenever they moved back into the land of Canaan. Too many to be able to ranch together. And we know the story. And that brings us to where we're at here in chapter 13. Now I'm going to read this, then we'll get into the rest of the service here. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, and to the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, and silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, and to a place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first when Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattlemen and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. It's not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains. And I want you to get this. And pitched his tent toward Sodom. Remember that. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated apart from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, and all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thou shalt thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Maram, which is in Hebron, built there an altar unto the Lord. I want to back up here again. I said, and Lot dwelled in the cities and plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening again, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would bless us, Lord, tonight. Bless this sermon, Lord, I pray, Father, as only you can do, Father. We've got to give you the praise for it all. I ask you, Father, this evening now, that as we go and look into this, Lord, I pray that you would open up hearts again this evening, Lord, that you would be with me, Lord. And Father, that as this message go out, Lord, that Father would go out to this, what is needed this evening. Let it touch hearts in a way that be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. If we continue to read about Abram, or Abraham, which he became later to be known, if we continue to read about he goes on and matures into a spiritual giant, does he not? He does. We can study and we can admire what Abraham did. Amen? We can do that. Yes, he makes mistakes. He makes bad choices. But brothers and sisters, he learns from his choices. Amen? He did do that. But he learns from them. He draws from his mistakes. He draws nearer to God because of it. But Lot On the other hand, he would live a life of grief and of heartache. The decisions that he made, you know, he pitched his tent, is what it said. He pitched his tent. And whenever he decided to pitch his tent in that direction, brothers, you know what? It haunted him for the rest of his life. It haunted his children. And you know what? It even haunted Israel for years to come. And I'll get into why it did with him making the decision of what he did to pitch his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you what, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Later moved into town, became one of the town's leading citizens, and enjoyed the wealth and influence that was associated with moving into Sodom and Gomorrah at the time. But in the end, we know that he lost his wife, committed incest with his own daughters, fathered a nation of people who would be a thorn in the side of Israel for years. All this stuff, time and time again, Abraham would have to come and try to bail him out. And he was wasted in a sorry life. Why? It wasn't because of his upbringing. You know what? It wasn't because he was impoverished or bad circumstances. You know what it was? It was God's choice that he had made. And I'm going to talk to you this evening about pitching your tent in the direction that you do. We all have decisions to make in this life. Do we not? All right. Kids, whether we're adults, whether we're grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever it may be, the decisions that we make right now are those decisions that are going to affect us the rest of our lives. Amen? They will do that. Even when we don't make a decision, brothers, it's a decision in itself, right? Exactly it is. If we decide not to do nothing, I want you to know that's a decision. Amen? That's what it is. Lot made a decision one day. He was presented with an opportunity. And you know what? You're going to be presented with opportunities in your life just like Lot was. And you know what he did? The greatest mistake that Lot made, and I'm going to get into it more later, is, you know what? God was not in the equation anywhere whenever he made the decision. He was looking about how good the land was. He was looking about how he could benefit from going in the direction he did. And you know what? He didn't think about having God to show him, listen, the direction that I'm going, is it really what needs to be done? You know, Abram at the time, he let him have his choice. He let him have what he did. And you know what? Lot didn't decide to check out with God what was going on. He, you know, he had that opportunity. He surveyed his options, did he not? And like so many decisions we make in our life, God was not in the process. And I want you to know something. Whenever God is not in our process, well, you know, whenever we pitch our tent on our own, we're leaving it on our own accord then. And you know what? We better be very careful of the decisions we make in this life without having God in them. Amen? Sure, Sodom and Gomorrah was there. Big deal. That don't bother me. I can just see Lot now. You know what? I know they're there. I know they're wicked. But you know what? I'm a bigger man. I'm a bigger woman than to have to worry about that stuff. You know what? I can handle anything Sodom and Gomorrah's got to throw at me. Have you never seen that or heard that in people's lives before? I'll tell you what, it happened. I'm going to tell you something. As a pastor, as a preacher, I've seen a lot of people pitch their tents. I want to tell you that right here tonight. I've seen a lot of them pitch their tents, and I've seen them pay for the consequences of those tents that they pitched one day. I want you to know that. Big deal, I'm strong enough to deal with it. Those two sin-filled cities probably never entered into the equation whenever he was looking about which direction he was going to go. Because you know why? He's seen the green grass. He's seen the water. He's seen all that stuff. He said, man, that looks so nice down there. You know what? I know Sodom and Gomorrah's down there. I know what lies down there. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pitch my tent because I tell you, I can handle whatever has to come my way. I'm just telling you what I think old Lot thought. So he went ahead and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But guess what happened in time? Guess what happened? We can see what happened. Well, let's read over in Genesis 14:2. That these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bathsheba, king of Gomorrah, and Sinai, king of Aramah, and Sherebar, king of Zoboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. And all these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is in the Salt Sea. 12 years they served the Chadareamers, and in 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year, and the kings were with him, and smote Ashtaroth and Carmah and Zoan and Ham and Em and Shem and the Hittites and their Mount Seir and Ephraim, which is in the wilderness. So what's all that mess right there telling you? Let me see. There was five evil kings, and what happened? They went in there and they took all of Lot's stuff. Basically, what happened? I want you to understand that Lot moved into the city. So you know what? He moved in there and he thought, God, I'm in this city and I'm going to be just fine. So we see the decision he made. He thought he could handle Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, it ended up, whenever they come after him, he moved right into the mess that he was not going to move into. He moved right into Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? He thought that he could handle it. And I want you to know something. There's so many people out there today that think that they can handle and handle the situations that they get themselves into in life, and they think, you know what? I'm the kind of person, I don't care. I can look at this on television. I can listen to this on the radio. But you know why? Because I am such a strong individual that it's not going to bother me. And a few years down the road, lo and behold, they're just like old Lot was. You know what? That thing that they said that they wouldn't do, that thing that they said that they could control, it is controlling them now. It's exactly what's going on. You know what? So he went ahead and he moved to, but guess what? You know, it tells us over in Genesis 14:2 on down through there. Eventually, he went right in and saw it. You see, no matter how noble his intentions were, how strong he thought he might be, Lot moved into the middle of town. He moved right into the middle of trouble by going ahead and pitching his tent at first right towards Sodom and Gomorrah whenever he did it. He went ahead and did it. No, not right after. So what did Abraham do? Abraham went and rescued him. And you would think that whenever Abraham rescued him from these five kings, that old Lot would have thought to himself right then, you know what? This isn't right for me. Maybe I should head in another direction. Guess where old Lot headed right back to? He went right back to Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. Read it. It's in there. That's exactly what he did. And you know what? You don't think people don't do that today? God delivers people. He gets them out of that mess. He takes them out of that. Even though they decided to pitch their tents in one direction, God will go back and he'll deliver them out of it. And you know what? A few miles down the road, they're thinking, you know what? I kind of liked it back there. And you know what they do? They go ahead and they head right back for the center of trouble in the center of town. Amen? And that's just what Lot did. He headed right back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes one bad decision leads to another bad decision in our lives, does it not? I tell you what, maybe I'm preaching to you kids here tonight. Maybe I'm preaching to myself. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something this evening. Those decisions that you make in your life right now, I'll tell you what, don't make it any worse, but whenever you make one, you know what, get it right. Don't take and stand there and say, you know what, make another one to try to correct one because it's just going to snowball on you. And I'm going to tell you, one of these days, you're going to be like old Lot was. We'll get into more about what he did. But he decided to pitch his tent. What happened next? Chapter 18 tells us. Lord tells Abraham that he's going to go down there and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That's what he's going to do. The Lord tells Abraham. You know what old Abraham did? Abraham tried to bargain with God, and he told God, he said, listen, if I can find 10 righteous people in those two cities, will you not destroy it? You know what? God agreed with him. You know, the Lord, he said the Lord was in, the Lord agreed. He said, I won't destroy that city if there are 10 righteous people found. I want you to know something. You know the story. They couldn't even find 10 righteous people in those two towns. Not even 10. And you know what? What did he destroy? Chapter 19 gives us the answer. Just how far had Lot come since he pitched his tent and made his choice? He was willing to prostitute his two daughters to save his honor, to save his respect. You know, whenever the angels come into Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story. He said, the men of that town, they wanted those angels. He said, let us come out and let us know them. What were they talking about? Well, you know what they were talking about. They were trying to homosexualize the whole thing. And you know what? That's exactly what they were talking about. Don't let nobody deceive you on that. That's what they were trying to do. And Lot said, well, I'll give you my two daughters. How far had Lot fallen? How far had he fallen? He said, I'll give you my two daughters. The next day, God destroyed the city. He said he destroyed. Lot's wife disobeyed and looked back. What happened? His wife turned to a pillar of salt. Those same two daughters that he tried to prostitute, you know what they did to him? They got him drunk, and they committed incest with him. That's exactly what. So they could carry on the family name. Now listen, this stuff sounds like it's straight from some kind of movie out here in the world, right? No, this is exactly what happened. Because a man decided to pitch his tent in a direction that he was not supposed to pitch his tent. Amen? That's exactly what happened. How could a man have everything going for him and end up in such a mess? It seemed to me like a simple, innocent decision, prosper, and get ahead. And that's what Walt was probably thinking at first. He said, I could prosper by doing this and get ahead. He thought it was such an innocent decision. But you know what? Whenever we make decisions without God in our lives, those decisions may not turn out to be so innocent. Amen? They may not. I want to tell you, folks, I want to tell you kids tonight, you know what? The spouses that you choose one of these days, and I'll talk to you this evening, I'll just be quite honest with you, make sure it's what God wants instead of what you want. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something, you may have to live with that decision the rest of your life. Amen? You might have to do that. But the decision cost him, hopefully more than what me and you will ever know. Great history lesson, right? Great history lesson, but what? What does it mean to you and me? What does it mean to you? Well, I can tell you right now what I think it means to you. Whether you're a teenager still in school, whether you're an adult waiting through this life, the decisions that you make today will have a lasting effect on how the future is spent. I want you to know, this is true for husbands, it's true for wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, couples, and I want you to know it's true for churches this evening. Amen? It is true for churches especially. The decisions that we make, the things that we make as a church, as families, as couples, I want you to know these decisions affect people's lives. And it can have an effect the rest of their life the way we pitch our tent. Think about this. How did the strongest man in the world, how did the strongest man that I think that ever lived end up with both his eyes poked out underneath a pile of rubble one day? At a palace, at a ruined palace. How do you think that happened? Why do you think that happened? Why? Because he pitched his tent towards sin and satisfying himself is exactly what he did, right? Chasing women instead of chasing God. Samson pitched his tent in the wrong way and it ended up costing him. How did the greatest king that Israel ever had, the greatest king that they ever had, listen to me, have an affair, kill an innocent man, kill an innocent man, and he pitched his tent toward trouble when he should have been out there with his army. That's how it happened. And don't you think this evening that maybe you've been here and you say, well, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian for years, and you're saying, you may stay here and say, you know what, nothing like that could ever, I'm going to tell you something. Do not get so big-headed, do not get so proud. I want you to know something this evening. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord, you can still pitch your tent in the wrong direction. And you know what? It may not have the effect on you, but it could have the effect on your grandchildren. It could have an effect on somebody else in your life. The tents that we pitch in this life. I want you to know that. Listen, everything that they've ever done, everything they did, these decisions that we make, we must be people just not to pack it up. I'll tell you what, do you think David and Samson and Lot just decided to pack up and just move into Sodom and Gomorrah? They didn't do that, did they? Lot didn't move into Sodom and Gomorrah first. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He was on the outskirts. Do you think David, whenever he started out serving the Lord, thought, you know what, I'm going to commit adultery and kill an innocent man? Do you think he did that? Do you think Samson, whenever he started out, thought that he would end up the way that he did? No, they pitched their tents in the wrong direction, brothers and sisters. That's exactly what they've done. And you know what? Tell you what, brothers and sisters, we can do the same thing this evening if we're not careful. I heard this commercial a few years back, and this is the truth. No kid, whenever they're asked, whenever they're young, will ever tell you that they want to end up being a drug addict. No kid, whenever they're asked what you want to be when you grow up, no kid will ever tell you they want to be an alcoholic. They're not going to tell you that. You ask young kids what they want to grow up to be. It's usually doctors or lawyers or anything else. They never tell you when they're young that they want to grow up to be something like I just said. What happens? You know what? Decisions are made. Maybe it's through parents. Maybe it's on their own accord. I don't know, but tents are pitched in a direction that it should not be pitched. And I'll tell you what happens. It starts to snowball. Decisions, bad decisions are made. And before you know it, their lives end up just the way that they are. And I'll tell you, that's why they pitched their tent in what direction, thinking that they were men enough to handle it. David and Samson and Lot all thought that they were man enough to handle it. Every man in this room tonight is searching for significant good things in their life, right? I'm sure you are. You want good things for your family. But at what price are you willing to pay? At what direction are you willing to pitch your tent to have that tonight? Are you? Every woman in here tonight. Every woman that's in here tonight. What price are you willing to pay? What direction are you willing to do to pitch your tent tonight? Are you willing to do that and have so many other people suffer in your life? I want you to know something. Lot suffered greatly. He suffered immensely for the decision that he made. And I'll tell you what, we can do the same thing if we are not careful. What direction are we pitching those tents to see? What are we doing? Where does it go in? I'll tell you what. I told you this earlier. As a pastor, I get to see people pitch tents in a lot of different directions. And you know what? I step back sometimes and I watch. Because you know what? If I jump in and I try to point fingers, you don't know. I've heard it. You know what? Quit judging me. No, I know I'm big enough to handle this. You know what? Whenever we take and do things, and we do things with our kids, make sure what we're doing with our kids, that our tents are pitched in the right direction whenever we do it. Amen? Let's do that. I've seen some pretty bad decisions being made down through time. I really have. You know what? They let their kids do whatever they want them to do. They let them do it on whatever night they want to do it. I'm going to talk about Wednesday night as well as Sundays. They let them go do whatever they want to do. And I'll tell you what, whenever they do that, are they giving the right example? Are they letting them see what direction that they are pitching their tents this evening? I want you to know that. I've seen it happen. You may be strong enough to handle it. I don't know. But I can tell you this. There's not been very many in my life that I've seen that have been able strong enough to handle it. I've seen men of God that preach the Word of God. I've seen them quit. I've seen them quit preaching. I've seen them never step behind a pulpit again. I've seen them end up in divorce. I've seen so many things. Because you know why? They thought they were man enough to handle anything that come their way. They thought, hey, I'm a man of God. I read that Bible. I pray. I know what, you know what? I know that my only hope, my only strength is Jesus Christ. If I make decisions in my life tonight for me and my wife, it has to be decisions that I know God has approved of. And I got to pray and say, God, please show me the right way. And I'll tell you, if you want to pitch your tent in the right direction, you make sure that you get on your knees and you pray. Put God in the equation every time. Amen? Put Him there for you, for your family. You know what? How important is that for us to do that? Father, down the road, because you're not going to take it where you thought it would wind up. It's not going to go where you thought it would. I guarantee you, whenever Lot set his eyes toward Sodom and Gomorrah, he never thought in his wildest dream that he'd ever end up committing incest with his daughters. I can tell you that right now. He never thought that. Not for one minute. And look how far he fell. Look how far he fell. Because you know what? The decision kept snowballing. It kept going.